Howdy. Look what I got today. There, I gave me one. I wonder what my granddaughters are going to say. But it has been a great privilege for me and my wife to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you for the warm welcome. And I thank you also, David and Nancy, for their not Southern hospitality, for their Christian hospitality. And we really felt at home. Thank you very much. And thank you for all those who fed us as well. And it's a great privilege. And I'm going to do something tonight that I'm not used with. I'm really going to give you a devotional. Now, every time I do that, if you ask my children, when I take my watch out of, they'll tell something like this. This is Daddy's most meaningless gesture. I'd like you to, we have been gone through the book of Matthew, and my meditation for tonight, or devotional for tonight, is from Matthew chapter 9. You remember we have spoken on Matthew chapter 4, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And when I spoke to the man, we talked about Jesus by the beach, Matthew 4, 18 to 22. And I would like to say something, four things about Jesus on the road. Because in Matthew 4, 23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Then you come later in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 on. And Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, give us this report, inspired report, and the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, that now he was no longer just going through all Galilee, but he says this, Matthew 9:35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into their harvest. After saying that, the Bible says that Jesus called the 12, empowered them, and sent them. Verse 5 says, then 5, these 12 Jesus sent out, showing that he is the Lord of the harvest and the Lord of the harvesters. Father, may the meditation of our hearts once more and the words of my mouth be pleasing before you. And again, Father, we are going to ask you in the name of Jesus, who is here with us, that your Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who inspired your Holy Word, and who is in our midst, we ask you, Father, that you may not allow us to leave this place the same way we came. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me just give you an overall introduction here. I hope that you have realized that every time you're going through the Gospels, in every text that I read here, there are at least three things that comes immediately, apparently, and it's very visible when you read them. One is that every time you see those stories, you see Jesus calling attention to his glory, to his sovereignty, to his ruling power. And in this text here, it's not different. Because when he tells them, pray to the Lord of the harvest, the Bible says that immediately he calls the 12, empower them, and send them. Who is the Lord of the harvest? He is. Call attention to, he is the Lord of the harvest and of the harvesters. But the second thing that impressed me very much in the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Gospels is that you find Jesus constantly ministering to two kinds of people. One, the multitudes, which represents the lost. The others, the disciples, that represent the church. And for Jesus, it's not a matter of either or, but both and. He was always ministering to the church and to the lost. And not just concentrate just on the church, but both. He was ministering both to the lost, represented by the multitudes, and to the disciples. In Matthew chapter 4, you see how he calls the disciples, effectively calling them, the church. But the Bible says, and multitudes were following him, and Jesus was ministering to all of them. And in this particular passage, it's very clear. He saw the multitudes, the lost, and then he turned to the church, the disciples. Since I promised you that I will give you a devotional this tonight, so that we can have more time to answer questions, let me just highlight four things in this particular four verses, 35 to 38. And I'd like to highlight four things based on the statements here. First statement is this. Listen, you have your Bibles. Matthew 9:35. Matthew says this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now, I would like to challenge y'all to carefully read the gospel and begin to highlight every verb in which Jesus is the subject of it. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. When the Bible says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, you begin to see that Jesus was the one who took the initiative. Later on in Matthew 28, when he says, having gone, or the verb has the force, the strength of an imperative, go, he went. Then my point is this, when you see that, the lesson for us is this, that Jesus Christ was always, that's my first point of my devotional tonight, Jesus Christ was always actively, never passively, committed to and involved with the Father's work. And I wish you could just go around. Listen, if you have your Bibles, let me just read to you some verbs, just in chapter 8, 9, and part of the chapter, just 8 and 9. Listen to this. Have your Bibles? Go with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to this. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. Chapter 8, verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Chapter 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Chapter 8, verse 18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Chapter 8, verse 23. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Verse 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass this way. Chapter 9, verse 1. So he got into the boat, crossed over, and came into his own city. By the way, he's always ministering here. Chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said, follow me. Chapter 9, verse 14. Then his disciples, the disciples of John, came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Chapter 9, verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, the ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Chapter 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, son of David, have mercy on us. Chapter 9, verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. Verse 9, 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Did you get tired? Follow Jesus is never boring. You may come to the end of a day and the end of your life with dead meat, but never boring. And that's my first lesson for you. When the Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, the point is Jesus was always actively committed to and involved with the Father's work. And just keep in mind that. And I hope and pray that, remember when Jesus says in John 17, I'm going to repeat it, as the Father sent me, I sent you also. I hope and pray that one of the prayers every single day in our lives is not, by the way, it's not just to be busy, body busy. That's not just the point here. You have a work, but I hope and pray that every morning when you wake up, you may say, Lord, would you please help me to live this day in such a way that I may be actively, not passively, committed to and involved with your work. And then you go to school, and then you go to your place of work, wherever you go, and you go as a sent one. And see what God's going to do. And by the way, a lot of things to do. Let me just say something, because sometimes I say, but how can I be always like Jesus? There's too many, many, many things that you can do. For example, one of the things that every believer here can do in that process of people coming to the saved knowledge of Christ and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. You can pray for people. You know in your family, in your work, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, you probably know people who are still lost. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bible. And you talk with them, you know they're lost. One of the things that you can do, and it's biblical, is to pray for them. Jesus prayed for the lost in John 17. Paul prayed for his people. Lord, this is my prayer that you save them. Pray for them. That's something that every one of us can do. Another thing that anybody can do is invite someone to come to church. You know, just be active. Now I'm going to tell you something that you'll not believe, but that's true. Listen to this. There was a research done. No, because some people think always, you know, for me to get actively involved is something like I have to share four spiritual laws or evangelism explosion, memorize some big methodology. There are no just one way to tell people about Christ. The good news is to tell them that Christ came in this world, He died on the cross to save us from our sins and rose again from the dead, to guarantee that. That's the good news. And how long does it take? Listen, how long did it take for the angels to proclaim the good news to the shepherds? And they really evangelized the shepherd. I'm not talking about conversion. I'm talking about sharing the good news. Another thing that you can do just to be actively committed to the Father's work, you know, invite someone to come with you. I was reading, listen to this. This is a research done in USA, and I don't know the margin of error, maybe 0.4, 0.5, by Tom Rainer, and I respect him very much. He's a professor at Wheaton College, have done a lot of research in USA, and he did a research and published a book, I think 2 years ago, on the issue of God's people, just inviting people to come to church. And he came to the following conclusion, that church members are not equipped to be inviters. I have to tell people, come to church with me. Call someone. Listen to what he says. That's the conclusion of his research. In USA, only 21% of active churchgoers invite anyone to church in the course of a year. And when they invite, you know, they have a special Thanksgiving or whatever, Christmas program, they invite. They always invite maybe another Christian, another Baptist or someone to come. But says only 21% of active churchgoers invite anyone to church in the course of a year, generally speaking in USA. But listen to this. But only 2% of the church members invited an unchurched person to church. Now, he did a research here in USA among unchurched people, those who now are in the church and those who are not. And listen to what he discovered. He said this. 96% of the unchurched are at least, in USA, somewhat likely to attend church if they are invited. If our research is close to accurate, he said, the implications are staggering. Over 153 million people would start, or at least would go to church if they were ever invited. Think about it. By the way, remember Psalm 122 and says, I was joyful when someone told me, I was just now translating from Portuguese. Whoa, what's there in English? That it says that he was happy when someone invited him. Oh, there. That's Psalm 122 verse 1 says this. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I know this is the song of ascent. And people say, but Dr. Medeiros, this is someone inviting the psalmist David, and he really wants to go. But my point is not that. My point is that at that time there were people inviting others to come to the house of the Lord, to be there, to worship the Lord. It's part of the deal. It's a very simple thing. You know, my mother loves that, because many times the weekend she calls some of her friends, go on the phone and say, listen, my, especially when I'm at home, and say, hey, my son is preaching today. I would like to invite you, especially head doctors, you know, and the nurse, to come to church to listen to the word. You can do that. I was this afternoon sharing with David and Nancy a situation that happened to me in Brazil. Besides giving literature, to talk with people and giving literature, that's a great thing too. They can read good literature, by the way, you give, be sure. But I was telling them, I have an uncle who is now maybe 70, I don't know, 70 some years old. Of my grandfather's family, my father was the one who, by God's grace, was really committed to the Lord and grew very committed to the Lord, became an elder of the church for many years, and now he's 83, he's going to be 83 years old, but very committed to the Lord. But his sisters and one of his brother came on, the oldest one came to the same knowledge of Christ already almost at the time of his death. But his younger brother never cared for church. And I remember a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know, I was invited to preach in his town. And he was the chief police in that town, the second largest town in João Pessoa, in Paraíba, my state. Then when I realized I was going to preach in his town, you know what I did? I called him on the phone. And I said, Uncle, I'm coming to your town, I'm preaching the church. May I stay with you? Oh, man. And I did it purposely. May I stay with you? I said, of course, son, come to my house. I got there on Friday afternoon. I have to preach Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then when I got there, he gave me a special room to stay. And the kids were still little, teenagers, whatever, 13, whatever. And I said to him like this, Uncle, would you go to church with me tonight? I'm going to preach. I'd like to invite you and your wife and the kids to go. He said, of course, son. We go with you. He went Friday night and I preached. He went Saturday night. I preached. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I left the town, said, thank you very much, Uncle, for the hospitality and for taking me to church as well. Time passed. A few years ago, but then suddenly someone told me that my uncle was an elder of the church. And one of his sons, who are now grown up, was a deacon. 2 years ago, more or less, I was with my brother-in-law, passing through that town because I just went with him, just to travel with him. And I said, this is the town that my uncle lived. I said, yes. I said, do you know where he lives? I said, yes. I said, let us go there just to visit him. Because a long time I have not seen him. I think probably the last time I saw him was when I invited him. I got there. He was not there. He was working. But then his wife was there. Married children were there. And I said, I'm so glad. And they were so glad to see me. And listen to what the married daughter said. I said, listen, guys, I'm so glad that I know that my uncle is an elder of the church, that you all are into the church. And he said, Elias, do you know when my father started to attend church? I said, no. and said, that day that invited him to come to the church with you. From that time, my father never stopped to go to church. God transformed his life. He became a very active member of the church, as an elder and the treasurer of the church. And everything started just because I said, uncle, let's go to church with me. You can do that. You don't need even to learn Portuguese. You can do it in English with anybody here. It's amazing. Jesus went about very always actively. My three other points, and I'm going to finish very quickly now. Listen to this. Jesus went about all the cities, and he went all the cities doing this, teaching, preaching, and healing. And of course, he healed people, not as an end in itself, so that people could believe that he was the Messiah to come. But my question is this, where did Jesus teach? Where did Jesus preach? Where did Jesus heal? And you'll be surprised, because as you begin to study the life and the ministry of Christ, you're going to see that Jesus were preaching and healing everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus attended weddings. He went to the Jewish feasts. He used boats, beaches, house, worship place, even cemeteries everywhere. My point is this. That's my second point. I'm going just to give you this point. Jesus used and took advantage of every situation, every proper means and ways and circumstance to proclaim the good news of his kingdom, to proclaim himself. And I hope and pray that you begin to look for all opportunities, all the situations, all the proper means to make Christ known when you talk with people. Third, listen to this statement. This has really impressed me now in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Underline this expression. When he saw the multitudes, how do you look at people? Now, I'd like to suggest to you that when you see that Jesus saw the multitudes from the Father's perspective, not from their mere felt needs, but from their heart, his spiritual needs perspective, people lost, people without the shepherd, people who need the Lord. That's the way he looked at the multitude around him and had compassion. He saw people were weary, harassed, bothered, scattered, helpless people. When you ask the question, harassed and wearied by what? And the Bible says by sins, by struggle, by difficulty, by despair. The Bible calls them helpless because they were unable to help themselves. This is the picture of people without Jesus. Jesus not simply seeing numbers. He's looking at the hearts of the people. By the way, he could see inside them. He knew them. He lived with them. He talked with them. He ministered to them. Talk with people, they began to understand a little bit of it. And Jesus used all the proper means, all the ways, all the circumstances to make himself known and to minister to those who are without the shepherd. Please don't be misled or misled. Don't be misled by the smiling or the apparent happiness of people around you. Just talk with them. People are hurting. And especially and principally because they don't have Jesus. Because the problem of every human being, just keep in mind that the problem of every human being, whoever lived after the fall, whoever lives today, and will ever be living till the coming of Christ is one. They have been separated from God. Sin that leads to death, separation from God. That's the problem. And the solution is only one. If their problem is sin that separates them from God and bring death, the solution is the seed of the woman, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only solution. And that's the way Jesus look at the people. And I hope and pray that you begin to say, Lord, help me to see every single day all the opportunities that I have to talk and to minister to those around me. Fourth, and Jesus saw, have compassion for these people, and I hope that this love of Christ may be poured in your love, in your hearts towards people around you. Verse 37, that really impressed me. Listen to this. When Jesus saw the multitude lost without the shepherd, he turned to the church. Have you realized that? He turned to the church. The Bible says, verse 4, and that's verse 37. That's my final point. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. My point is this. If Jesus looked and saw the problem of the multitude and looked to the church, the point is this. The challenge, the work to bring the good news to this world and to reach out to those who are both around us and far away from us was given to us. No other community or political party received this privilege, this power, and this responsibility but God's people. That's it. Now listen to the statements here. The harvest truly is plentiful. You know what he says? I have work for everybody. The harvest truly is plentiful. God has enough work for each one of us. And plentiful in any way that you can think. Every person, when you minister individually to people, when you see that each one of them brings and is loaded with problems, troubles, separate from God. Jesus in John chapter 4 said to his disciples, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he says this, laborers are few. By the way, not only in terms of numbers, but also in terms of different kinds of ministries and gifts that God gives to his people to minister to others. And he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. This harvest is mine. Pray. So that he may send laborers. By the way, when you begin to pray for laborers, we are not asking him to excuse us. It's amazing that he tells the 12, pray to the Lord of the harvest. It will be so easy. Okay, Lord, let us pray for more laborers. Okay, let us pray for more laborers. Nice. But you know what Jesus did? To those whom he said, pray for more laborers, he called them, empowered them, send them. In other words, it's like laborers working in his harvest, praying for more laborers. In other words, my dear brother, keep in mind, you are already a worker. We don't ask for more workers in order to excuse ourselves from the work, but to be together with us, workers praying for more workers. And I'm going to finish with this statement here. Christ Church, PCA in Katy, Texas, never take that idea that because you cannot be in China or someplace else, that the only thing is for you to do is to pray and to pay. I am getting tired of hearing people say, because you cannot be in China, but you can pray and pay. The Lord never gave only these two options for us. You are called to pray, you are called to pay, and you are called to participate. Because the work is across the street around the world. Now that's what as you are working here, and you are investing and praying, suddenly you know there are other people in other parts of the world, some of them who never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, oh Lord, please, that's when you begin to pray for more workers. You are working here. Only those who are participating can really pray and invest in God's kingdom. And I'd like to challenge you for that. Don't think ever that the only thing we have to do is to pray and to pay. You are called, empowered to participate because the mission field is across the street and around the world. And as you do that, I hope and pray they will begin to pray for more laborers. Because lazy Christian is an oxymoron. And I mean that. The harvest has always been plentiful. People are dying every single day, and people are born every single day. And only God knows the time of our ending. The harvest is always being plentiful, what do you call it? Thank you, my dear. Replenished. The harvest is replenished every single day. New people are born everywhere. People are dying every day. People are born every day across the street and around the world. And they need to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, help us, each one of us, to see the opportunities every single day across the street and around the world. And help us, oh Father, to be like Jesus, that we may be found always actively committed, never passive. Never passively, but actively committed to and involved with your work. Oh Father, help us like Jesus, who took advantage and used every situation, every proper means, every ways, every circumstance to make himself known, even when he was on the cross, dying. But he saved people and communicated his love even when he was dying. Father, we ask you also in the name of Jesus that you may help us from now on to look at people around us from your perspective, from Jesus' perspective, not just from their felt needs perspective, but for their heart, spiritual need perspective. People lost, people who need you, people who are without the shepherd. And no Jesus, no life. And finally, Father, help us to leave this place knowing that the responsibility to reach out to this multitude around us and far away from us, this responsibility, this privilege, this power, and this great joy has been given to your people. Help us to leave this place knowing that the harvest is truly plentiful and will always be plentiful till the day when you finished the work on this earth and you come back. Which means, Lord, that you have work for each one of us here, from the youngest to the oldest. Help us, O Father, to pray for more laborers, in the sense of not only to be trained, but to be gained and lead and lead them to the saved knowledge of Christ and train them to minister to all. And help us, Father, to keep in mind that this harvest is yours. And you have empowered us. And you have sent us to pray for this work, for the people around us and people away from us. And to pay and to invest with our time and with our talents and with our money and all the resources we have. But also, Lord, to participate here and over there in Jesus' precious name. Amen.